Every week, we check in with our friends at America's Test Kitchen to see what they're up to. But this time, we're taking a look back with them a little bit, like a survey course of useful geekery. So, you know, famously, they test their recipes a zillion times, tweaking them every which way. But in the process, they've come across a lot of supposedly ironclad rules of the kitchen that have turned out not to be so ironclad. Doc Willoughby is the editorial director for magazines at ATK, and he's collected some of his favorite myths that they've busted over the years. So, Doc, so great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Francis.
So your team kindly sent along a list of your the greatest hits of your myth-busting career at America's Test Kitchen. and so, you know, should we prepare to be shocked or mildly surprised?
I would say mildly surprised for most of them and possibly shocked by one.
So which culinary myth are you most proud of slaying?
I would say the myth that marinating actually does anything.
What?
Because this is a myth that is hard to slay. It's kind of like the myth that searing seals in juices and meat, which was discredited back in about 1989, but I think most people still believe it. So marinating is one we've just started to discredit a few years ago, so we have our work ahead of us.
Tell me more, because I do not believe you. I love the marinade. I mean, I don't marinate all the time because I'm lazy.
This is the best thing when we're not believed, because, of course, we back everything up with science. Now, we started years ago feeling like actually marinating doesn't seem to be doing that much, particularly when you're doing chicken or meat, which are the things people marinate most often. So we decided to do an experiment. And so we took boneless, skinless chicken breasts in four different marinades, soy, yogurt, red wine, and lemon and garlic. And we left them in there for 18 hours. And after the 18 hours, the marinade had penetrated less than between 1 and 3 millimeters, which is less than a tenth of an inch. And that's after 18 hours. So what we did was we then took those chicken breasts, we shaved off the amount that had gone in. So we shaved off the outer 3 milliliters. Then we roasted those along with some other chicken breasts that had not been marinated, and we had people taste them. No one could taste any difference at all.
Wait,
so
what?
No one could taste any, and we have a blind tasting with a large panel of 30 testers. And the only way you could taste any difference at all is if you tasted one that had not had that little tiny bit shaved off. And then there was a faint difference. And this is after 18 hours of marinating. So,
yeah, that's like a long time.
It's a long time. And, you know, no one wants to marinate anything that long. So all marinating really does is put a tiny bit of flavor on the outside part of whatever it is you're marinating. And it's the other thing people say is that marinating tenderizes things. So if you use acid or you use the other thing that people often use is papaya juice, theoretically it will tenderize the meat, but what it actually does is it tenderizes to the same depth as those marinades penetrated. So all it does is make the outside of the meat or whatever you're marinating mushy. So No matter how long you marinate, you're really only going to get mushy exterior and a tiny bit of flavor on the outside. So it's actually much better to skip that whole marinating thing, cook the food, and then put the flavor on it afterwards.
Yeah, like sauce it or whatever. But what about like a brine?
Well, this is a brine actually works. And here are the exceptions to my myth busting. A brine will carry salt into the interior of whatever you're brining at a different rate, depending on whatever it is. And so the salt does season whatever you have in the brine, and it also makes it stay moister when you cook it. And there are two items that are water soluble that you might have in a marinade: onion and garlic. So if you have a marinade with onion and garlic, some of that onion and garlic flavor will get some way further into the meat. But all spices, herbs, most of the things that you really want to have flavoring whatever you're marinating, they're all fat soluble, and fat soluble substances don't penetrate into meat or fowl. So unless you're marinating something like tofu, because if you marinate tofu, it's got a very loose structure. So that actually the marinade will penetrate into tofu. But if you're marinating meat or chicken, you're just not going to get much difference. If you put a lot of salt in your marinade or you have a lot of soy sauce, you will get a seasoned piece of meat or fish, but it won't have any additional flavor.
Ah, okay. So I'm still having trouble digesting this. I'm not sure entirely why, but I'll buy that we have some common ground there where I can accept the brine and the salt and the soy sauce work. Okay, so let's move on to another one. What is another myth that you have busted?
Well, here's another one that is something that people have been doing forever on just on the sort of the faith that it works. And that is when you roast a turkey or a chicken, if you baste it, it will end up moister and juicier because you've been basting it. So that really seemed like one of those things that while it's kind of homey and fun to do, maybe it doesn't really work. So again,
and you get that little squeezy thing. I mean, it's great. Everyone loves doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, right? But does it work? I mean, you can do it if you want to have fun, but what does it work? Let's see. So we took three chickens and three turkeys, and one set we basted every 20 minutes. The second set we just roasted without doing anything. And the third we didn't baste, but we opened the oven door and closed it every 20 minutes. And then when they were done, we measured the moisture loss in all three of them to see if any of them had stayed more moist. As it turns out, no. Moisture loss was virtually identical in all three of them. But what happened was it took 10% longer to cook the bird that we didn't baste but open and close the door. And it took about 16% longer to cook the one that we basted. Because what you're doing when you're basting is you are cooling down the surface of the bird. As it turns out, that doesn't keep it moisture. It just makes it take longer to cook.
Huh.
However, and here's the however of this one. The one thing basting did do was it gave you a darker skin. So if you don't mind cooking a little longer and you know you're not going to get anything that's moisture, you will get a better looking skin by basting.
Okay. I don't have any emotional attachment to basting, so you can tell me anything you want to tell me about it, and that's fine.
Okay. But you're still not believing in the marinating, right?
I'm still not buying the marinating.
So you have to do this for yourself at home, and then you'll believe it. But the next one is something that I'm very happy about because, I mean, I love my grandmother, and she was a great cook, but she always used to do these things that I didn't think really worked, and she insisted they did. So one of them was whenever she boiled corn, she put sugar in the water, and she insisted that this made the corn not only cook faster but taste sweeter. So when we were working on our boiled corn recipe, and actually we do have a recipe for boiled corn, we decided to figure out if this was correct. So we took corn and we put it in water with some blue dye, and the chemicals in this dye approximate about the same structure as salt or sugar.
Oh, cool.
So we decided to see how long it would take the blue dye to get into the corn. For it to get into the entire ear, it took, guess how long?
Well, I mean, you don't want to boil corn for more than...
Take a guess.
Like a few minutes.
Yeah, it took 2 hours.
Oh, come on.
So, and the reason for this is that kernels of corn are not permeable. They're semi-impermeable. So for the salt and sugar to get into the kernels where you could taste them, it has to go through the cob, saturate the cob, and then go into the kernels. So my grandma, despite her skill at cooking, was wrong about this.
But okay, so there's one more on this list. The myth is exactly how you whisk makes no difference. And this is not a myth. This is not a thing that people tell one another.
This is a great myth of whisking. This is what happens when you have 42 test cooks in a kitchen and they're all doing something and they all want to figure out who's doing it the best and most efficient way, right? So everybody's always whisking and people have different ways of whisking. Some do it in a side to side. Some do it in a circular sort of stirring motion.
Yeah, that's
and
how I
some
do it.
Beat it, which is that looping thing where the whisk comes out and goes back into the...
Oh, that's how I do it. Yeah, yeah.
Into the liquid. Yeah. So you're doing it the wrong way because...
You're killing me.
We did this. We took these three methods and we had a bunch of different people, left-handers, right-handers, people with small hands and big hands, all the variables, to emulsify vinaigrettes, to whip small amounts of cream and whip small amounts of egg whites. So the worst, the one that lost everyone was circular stirring.
Okay.
It took twice as long to whip cream and egg whites as in another manner. And the dressing never got fully emulsified. The winner was side to side, just sort of back and forth, never taking the whisk out of the liquid. And the reason for that is that when you do that, it sets up what's called shear force, S-H-E-A-R force. So you're going one way in the liquid and then you're going back, but some of the liquid is still coming the direction that you were going before and runs into the other liquid. And so that's called shear force, and that makes everything mix faster.
Oh, that's interesting.
All that said, beating the way you do it, when you sort of bring it out of the mixture and back in, is best for egg whites. It was very poor for emulsifying or for whipping cream, but it was best for egg whites.
Oh, interesting.
So if you want to do egg whites, you should beat. Otherwise, use the back and forth motion.
Very cool.
So aren't you glad I busted that myth for you?
That you invented that myth to bust it? Yeah, that's great.
Well, it might have improved your kitchen efficiency anyway.
No doubt, no doubt. And plus, a chef once told me you had to do figure eights in the bowl, which I could never do.
But that might even be best. We have to add that to our next round of testing.
You got to go back. The myth of the figure eight whisking. All right. Well, thanks so much for talking, Doc. I still don't believe you about the marinating, but it's great to talk with you anyway.
You try that at home.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Francis.
Doc Willoughby is the editorial director for magazines at America's Test Kitchen. And he left us with a recipe that proves, so he says, that you don't have to marinate beforehand. It's grilled shrimp skewers, and he sends along three sauces, spicy lemon garlic, shermoula, and tomato, feta, and olive. You can find it all at splendidtable.org.